Praise the Lord. So this is really wonderful. Thank the Lord so much for all the speaking during this weekend. And I hope everybody has a better, much better and deeper impression of this matter of consecration of the priest.
Amen.
And you can see here the last, there are so many details we didn't get a chance to touch on. Like, for example, the unleavened bread, we never really got into it so much, and the anointing oil, which is, everything was anointed. It was so, without the Spirit, you can't do anything, right? Everything must be anointed by the Spirit. We, of course, definitely must be. That's all the time we have, though. But now we can get in these verses in Exodus 29, 35-37, and I want to especially focus on the practice of it in Leviticus 8, 33-36. You can see here that this consecration was not just one moment. It was something that had to be carried out for 7 days. And seven is a number of completion. Amen. It means it's thorough. God created the heavens and the earth. He restored the earth, the creation of the earth, in six days, and he rested on the seventh. It was a time when he could be satisfied and be at rest. So it was all complete for his creation. So for us also, he chose this number of seven, the 7 days of consecration for us. And it's interesting that here you can see that the priests, they didn't just go through this procedure, then go home and then come back the next day, do it again, and then go home the next day and do it again. It says here clearly in Leviticus 8, verse 33, it says, "You shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting for 7 days until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you." So we have to see, when we are consecrated, it is very thorough. It is definitely a very serious thing. It's not just on a whim. You know, today I'm in a good mood, I feel like it. We're having a nice fellowship time here. Everybody's all charged up. I will consecrate myself to you, but then as soon as you leave here and you go home, and then the work comes, and then the challenges come, you get back into your routine, and then you think, maybe not today.
Right.
Right. But here you can see that it is very thorough. It is a complete 7 days. But for us, it's not literally 7 days. I want to make that clear. It means that for us, it's continual.
Amen.
Until the Lord comes back,
Amen.
Or until we are not alive, until we die, or whatever it is continual. And it's a daily process. Every situation that you're going through, whether you're at work or at school, you're at home, we have to practice this.
Amen.
Always remember to gain Christ and to apply what he has done for us. All of these different offerings, the priestly garments, the washing, the cleansing, the anointing oil, the unleavened bread, all of these have to be continually applied to us, right? The application of the blood on our ear, on our thumb, on our toe, they all have to be done. But here it says, very interestingly, it says, "You shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle of meeting."
Amen.
You know, that means that they are inside the tabernacle when this happens. Because when they, I don't think it's here. It says here, when you eat it, you are in the tabernacle when you're eating it. It's here somewhere. In verse 31, Moses said to Aaron and his sons, "Boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle meeting and eat it there with the bread that is in the basket of the consecration offering as I commanded. Aaron and his sons shall eat it." So they're already there at the door, and then they have to they shall not leave that door, right? They shall not go outside.
Amen.
So, you know, if you think about it, if you were Aaron and his sons, and you were inside this tent for 7 days, you couldn't go out, you couldn't see anybody else, you couldn't do anything else, I can't imagine that it was very easy, right? How many sons? Well, at this point, I think it was four. Four sons, yeah. At this point, he had four sons. Yeah, he had grandsons. He had his sister. He had his brother. He had... Because only the sons were the priests.
Right.
Yeah. So he couldn't do anything else. Right? So it was always in the tabernacle. So, and this is part of our consecration. There are... And in that tabernacle, in the holy place that they were, they were in the Lord's presence. You know, if you feel like you want to leave the tabernacle, something's not right.
Right.
But you should not, as priests, why would we, to be, that grace just quoted from Psalm 23, right? What's the last verse of Psalm 23? All the days of his life, right? He wants to dwell in the house of the... Everybody, when they quote Psalm 23, they like to quote about, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and, you know, going through the valley of shadow of death and fearing no evil. But I don't know how much attention people pay to the last verse, that we can be in the house of the Lord, right? And David also talked about how the place that he wants to be is in the... There's no other place that he'd rather be than in the house of the Lord. Where is that? It's in Psalm 27, yeah.
Amen.
Psalm 27. One thing I have desired. Yeah. I'm glad it... You all know it very well, right? Because that's our desire as well. Psalm 27, verse 4. 27 verse 4.
One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
Amen. And verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle.
He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock.
You can see how much for David it was not a difficulty to be... It wasn't trapped in the tabernacle. For him, he wanted to be there. That was the most joyful place for him. Especially when there were people outside who wanted to kill him.
Right.
Even more, right? Why would you want to go outside when there's so much trouble,
right,
and anxiety and difficulty and you know, every kind of problem? But now David can, his desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life.
Amen.
And to behold the beauty of the Lord. Why does he want to be in the tabernacle? Is because he can behold the beauty of the Lord.
Amen.
Right? So it doesn't mean the problems went away, but now he can be in the presence of the Lord. And so for the priest to be consecrated, it means you have to love being in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Love being in his house.
Amen.
Just like David, right? There's no other place you'd rather be. And so, you know, I'm sure David would not, he didn't just want to stay 7 days, right? But he wanted to stay all the days of his life. But for us, what does this mean? It means that we want to be continually with him, right? Always seeking after him.
Amen.
And what better place to seek him than with the saints?
Amen.
Right? Yesterday in our group fellowship, we were talking about the types of people we surround ourselves with.
Right.
If you are with people that don't care about the Lord, they don't love the Lord, they just want to love the world and pursue the things of the world. When you're with them, they're talking about worldly things. They're talking about just, you know, everything else but the world. You will eventually be also influenced to that. Right? But actually, we should not have a taste for it. But here you can see, but if you are with people like the saints who also are pursuing this goal, who also want to be consecrated, who want to crucify themselves and on the cross and live for Christ and love the Lord in such a deep way,
amen.
That is, it will definitely be, it's so much better, such a better environment to surround yourself
amen.
In. Right? And even if they're Christian, if they have, there are so many Christians that I've known before that they have no heart for the Lord. And you can feel it, right? Something is not right. We want to be, and this is why it's so wonderful that the Lord put us together in the house of God.
Amen.
Right? That we can all have this desire to seek and pursue the Lord's kingdom and pursue Him. Right? So this is, the house of the Lord is not literally a house, okay? So we are not, this building is not the house of the Lord. Our meeting hall at 1041 McNichol Avenue is not the house of the Lord. It's when the saints are together, right? The fellowship of the saints. And this is really, it's about you and me, us being together in fellowship and edifying one another, supplying one another, the spirit, the flow of life among us. And this is how we can see Christ in one another. And this is really the dwelling in the house of the Lord that we enjoy so much.
Amen.
Right? And this is, and in order to do that, that means you need to pay a price sometimes. Actually, all the time. In order to do that, I need to make changes to my schedule. I need to make changes in how I organize my life. I may need to let go of certain things I want to do. You know, there were certain hobbies or certain things that I wanted to do that were taking up my heart and taking up my time that I had to let go because they were getting in the way of my time with the saints.
Amen.
It's not that anybody forces us to do it, but it is from a genuine love and a desire for the Lord to do this, right? And this will help us, definitely help us, and it's needed in our consecration. Yeah, so, to stay in the tabernacle of meeting.
Amen.
Right, even in Revelation chapter 3, it says that they would, that the overcomers, there are pillars in the house of the Lord, and what happened to them? That they would, where is that one? 3:12, yeah. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more." Amen.
Amen.
He shall go out no more. Wouldn't you like to be a pillar in the temple of our God and not go out anymore?
Amen.
You know, for some people, if you have no interest, you'll feel trapped. But if you love the Lord and you love the kingdom of God, you love His house, you love the saints, it's the best place on earth.
Amen.
Right? So I hope that this is really in our heart, that we have such a desire to stay in the tabernacle of meeting. And it says here in verse 35, "You shall stay at the door of the tabernacle of meeting," this is Leviticus 8, "day and night for 7 days. And keep the charge," or meaning keep what the Lord has charged you to do, that you may not die.
Amen.
And in back to Exodus 29, it says, this gives you also, that shows you that every day, in verse 36, you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. So again, this tells us that the sin offering is not applied just one time. The sin, the nature of sin is so deep in us. We live in a body of sin and death. It actually is in our physical flesh. This is why when the Lord returns, he needs to give us a new body. Because this sin is not just, it's a spiritual thing, but it's actually embedded in our physical body. And as long as we are living in this body, that temptation will always be there, right? That the tendency will always exist. That's why when the Lord returns, he needs to give us a new body that's not corrupted by the poison of sin, right? That's so then we can be fully freed from the body of sin and death. And you can even see the evidence of the sin and death working in your body. As you get older, you get, actually, I was about to say, as you get older, you get more aches and pains, but we have young people with aches and pains too. But yes, aches and pains, you know, aging, getting weaker, getting sick, this is all evidence of the, where does that come from? That all came from the sin that is in, that is living in your physical body, right? So, but sin is so deeply embedded in our body, in our soul. Brother's going to talk about that soon. And this is why the sin offering is needed. In Exodus 29, it had to be offered every day. Every day we need to come to the Lord to purge out the sin, to deal with the root of sin in us. Right? So, don't just say, "Ah, Lord, forgive my sins," and then continue on. But you have to deal with it very thoroughly. Right? So, I think that this is a very easy idea. There's not much to say. It's keep it up. Just keep it up until the Lord comes back, right?
Amen.
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 Can I just... Praise the Lord, yeah. Do not go outside the tabernacle of meeting. Hallelujah. This verse has really become often my salvation. It's a commandment, and you, as it was shared, you think you might be squeezed into something, but it's really our salvation. Stay inside. Amen. Just like with the Ark of Noah, stay inside. If you go outside, you die. Right? Same thing applies to the tabernacle. Stay inside. And it says if you don't stay inside, you die. I must really testify this. When I came here to... from Zurich, I flew to Toronto. Just only this time I was there in the world, just walking there, and I'm spending time at the airport and then seeing all the advertisements and everything of this. There's so many influences of this world just coming on to you, and suddenly you already start to, this is also nice, and this is also nice, right? And I was reminded of this Psalm 73, you may know it. It's a psalm of Asaph, and he was a Levite. So he should be in the tabernacle. This is where he should be. But then he thought, maybe I'll go outside a little bit. I won't read it all to you, but you can read it one time yourself. He started to go outside and see all the things that the godless people are doing, and they're having so much fun, and he thought they're doing great, and everything is nice. And then he started to think, oh, maybe I should also try these things out, right? And then he says, I almost slipped, I almost fell, I almost died, right? And when he saw all of this, but what was his solution? What was his solution? It is in verse 17. Yeah. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Yeah. That was also his salvation, going into the sanctuary. This is also the place where he should have been, right? He's a Levite. We are priests. And I'm so glad. I came from Stuttgart. I was there in the tabernacle. Okay, then I had to move. I was a little bit in the world, but then I came right back into the tabernacle. It's good. We just moved from tabernacle to tabernacle, so to say. Wherever the saints are, there is the tabernacle of the Lord.
Amen.
And let us really be there. Yeah. Just one more verse. Sorry. Psalm 84. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 84. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a psalm of the sons of Korah. They were also Levites. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay down her young. Even your altars, our Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Amen. Amazing. For him it was not, oh, I need to stay inside. I cannot go outside. It was, where else should I be? How lovely is your tabernacle? This is where I want to be. All the day of my life, right? My soul longs, even faints. I don't know if we ever had this feeling. Fainting for the courts of the Lord. This is really the priesthood. The priesthood is the consecration. It gives us such a taste of being there with God, staying there with God for 7 days, totally, completely, yeah. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Amen. And verse 10, yeah. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. Yeah. And I don't think there's any limit to apply this word. It's so good to redeem our time, to be together, to serve together in whatever we do. It's always good to think about, in everything I do, how could I still maximize the time of fellowship? So even when we are working or when we are preparing food or just in everything to seek work, how could I maximize the fellowship with the saints? There are ways. There are always ways. Yeah. And so praise the Lord. Yeah. Let us have this heart for the courts, for the tabernacle of the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. May I know his resurrection life. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's so wonderful. Like for this time of this conference, we had gone through all the process that is required for the consecration of the priest.
Amen.
It's so wonderful. Like when we go through each and every step, what the brothers had already shared, you know, all that we see is Christ. In everything, like right from the starting, we are being washed with the waters of the Word of God, which is God Himself, right? And then we are clothed with the garments. And even when we look in Exodus, we can see that every material that is being used for this garment, like the blue thread, which is heavenly, the scarlet thread, right? The purple, which shows the royalty. Every single thing that is being used for that garment is also of Christ. And later on, we have seen that, you know, even in the matter of the sin offering, that's also Christ. We are taking Christ as our sin offering to really deal with this nature of sin that is inside us. And we take Christ as a burnt offering, right? For the obedience of Christ in us, right? And then we have the consecration lamb, where we take the blood, put it on our ears, on our thumb, on our foot, like whatever that we hear, what we do, wherever we go, it should be consecrated. Right? And then we also enjoyed the eve offering and day offering, praise the Lord. We really need the strength, and that's also Christ. I'm really thankful. I'm really thankful that in all these things we can see Christ. But then the question is, okay, what am I going to do after consecration? What is the purpose of consecration? The purpose of consecration is to go forward, right? and to serve the living God.
Amen.
And do we have the... how do you go to it? Okay.
Amen.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's good that we have a picture because a picture speaks more than 1,000 words. So, like most of the... Yeah, it's okay. This is also good. Yeah. Yeah, here we have seen most of the things that we do as a part of the consecration, where we have the washing with the water. We have all the offerings which are laid on this burned offering altar. But then the question is, what do we do after that, right? We should not be retreating. We should not be getting out of the tent and going home. But we should go forward, and then we have to stay inside the tabernacle. And as we go inside the tabernacle, you can see that there are two main parts, which the brother already covered at the start of this conference. There is the most holy place as well as the holy place. I was actually thinking, where should I start when I start sharing about this matter? Praise the Lord, he had torn the middle wall of separation. Now, both the places are together. I can actually cover all the things in one go. It's good, yeah, praise the Lord. So, just before we go into this matter, I just want to recap on some of the verses which was brought during this conference. We mentioned Genesis chapter 1. It's good to understand why did God made man. It's good to understand that, because this is a very starting itself, right? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Amen.
Amen. And then going on to Genesis chapter 2, 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. I mean, what we see over here is that when God created man, there was no sin in him, right? And then God gave this charge of this Garden of Eden to take care of it. But we know what happened after that, right? Sin entered into man. And then man was kicked out from the Garden of Eden, right? But then since that time onwards, God is trying to reconcile man back to himself. This is what we see throughout the Bible. He's trying to bring man back to himself. And let's read Romans chapter 5 about this. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Amen. And then 17 and 18. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. It's not only sin entered into man, but sin actually entered into the whole creation, right? And the Father is trying to reconcile not only us, but the whole creation back to himself. And that he's doing it through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read that verse in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 23. Yeah. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Yes. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works,
Yet now he has sacrificed in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Father is trying to reconcile everything back to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's so wonderful. Here it says that, you know, he wants to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. But there is a caveat. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. May the Lord really help us all to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Yeah. And let us not be wavering. Let us not be moved away by anything, right? Even let us not be moved away from the love of God, right? Let none of these trials or tribulations or persecution, let none of these things move us away from this love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. But the thing is that, like what we mentioned many a times before, sin. Sin is a big issue. We have to deal with the sin. And the sin has to be nailed on the cross. And this is the very first thing what the Father had done for us. You know, he laid his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to deal with the matter of sin. Because with sin, you cannot come closer to God. Because as we mentioned before, even the book of Genesis, the reason why they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden was because sin entered into man, right? So let's read Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, second part. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 5, second part. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Praise the Lord. You know, hear him. So when we hear the voice of the Lord today, may we not harden our hearts. Amen. May we really be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Right? And Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Yeah. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Amen. Praise the Lord. It is no longer I, but Christ in me. Right? And even through these offerings about the consecration, we have really seen that it is no longer us, it is Christ in us. He is our burnt offering. He is our obedience. And it is only through him we can come forward and do the works of the Lord. Okay, so let's... okay, so here we have... I'm just trying to put the representations of what this tabernacle means. So when we, this first picture is actually showing the tabernacle. And you know that the innermost part is the holiest place, right? And the second part is the holy place. And the outer court is the outer court. So there's two representations of this tabernacle. One is your individual self. And the second part is the corporate body. I didn't get a chance to put all the names over here, but I have some of the children's names over here, just to show like what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? He is the head of all things to the church, but we are all members of the body of Christ. And every member is equally important. You know, we cannot say that I don't need legs or I don't need hands. Every member is equally important. So we are all equally important. It's not like one is better than other. Everyone is important, right? And this one shows, like, you know, our three parts. Now, when I started this chapter in Genesis, we mentioned that, you know, man fell, right? And all the three parts of him has been dead, right? And the first thing what God had to do is to renew the spirit. And when we say that he's trying to reconcile a man back to him, he's trying to reconcile the whole being back to himself. It is not just one part, but all three parts have to be transformed and it has to be brought back. And the first step is to renew the spirit, right? So let's read this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23. Maybe I can just read. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, you know, we can see that all the three parts need to be transformed. All three parts need to be transformed. And the very first step is to get a new spirit. And that's the reason why we have to be born again, right? This is the very first step, that we have to receive the life of Christ inside us. Because without this life of Christ inside us, nothing can be done. That is the first stage of our transformation. Right? John chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So, if you are not a Christian yet, if you are not a born-again Christian yet, the very first step, be born again, so that we may have the Spirit of the Lord inside us. Amen. Like what the brother had shared before about the resurrection life, right? Where is that resurrection life? That resurrection life is in the Spirit. We need that resurrection life to lift us up, right? And even when we go for the prayer meetings, right, on Tuesdays or on Wednesdays, when we don't have that life in us, who is the one who is going to give that life to rise up from our dead conditions and to do the works of the Father, right? It is this wonderful Holy Spirit that lives in us, right? Also in Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Amen. Yeah. So we really need the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. There's a lot of things to cover. I think we need another conference to cover everything because this is so detailed. What I'm trying to do is to just give you all a sneak peek. Just high-level details we can go through. But I think, yeah, there's a lot of things to be covered in here. But what you see in the most holy place is also the Ark of the Testimony. Right? In the Ark of the Testimony, you have manna, which is the bread of life. There is a rod with life in it, and there is the commandments of God. I mean, the difference between what you see in the most holy place and what you see in the holy place is that everything in the most holy place is something given to you. I mean, for example, sometimes you might think, hey, both are bread. In the most holy place, there is a manna. In the holy place, you can see 12 loaves of bread. What is the difference between these two? The one in manna is straight from the Lord. There is nothing that man is trying to bring forth. But when you look at the 12 loaves of bread, there is a portion that you have to bring, because those loaves of bread are actually prepared from the grain offering. So man have to gain Christ, and you have to bring that Christ, and that is the bread that is prepared for the 12 loaves of bread. But the one that is inside, everything comes from God. So there's a difference. So yeah, so praise the Lord. I really want to read this. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. You know, we really need to understand that the word of God is very important. When we say that, oh, I want to walk in the Spirit, how is the Spirit going to speak to you? Right? It's not just, oh, in my mind, I just think about it. No, he speaks very clearly through the word. So that's the reason why we really need to spend more time in the word, not for knowledge, but for life. Because you can see that in the innermost part, that life, that rod of life, this word is light, it is life, and we need this. Without light, we cannot see our condition. Without life, we cannot do anything, right? So, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word,
and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Amen. May the word that was spoken even during this time of the fellowship really shine into our hearts. May the word really shine into us and show us where we are lacking. And may the Lord really help us to take Christ as all these wonderful offerings as a part of the consecration and renew us, right? It's the word is the light and it is also the life. Amen. Okay, so that's the most inner part. Let's go on to the next one, which is the soul. Okay, now I said at the beginning, right? Three stages of transformation. First, spirit. Wonderful. That's good. Spirit has been renewed. Second stage, our soul. You know, our whole Christian life is to do with the transformation of the soul. Where does it say? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, it says, the end of your faith is the transformation of the soul. So, just receiving the Spirit is not good enough. This Spirit has to transmit its characteristics and its life to the soul as well, right? Like even if you look at this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, maybe we can read it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. So, yeah, this is a different picture which I was showing in the previous slide. But basically, like, you know, you can see here that in the inward part it is a spirit, the outside part is a soul, and the outside is a body or the flesh. Actually, this soul itself has three parts. It's mind, emotion, and its will, right? So when we say that the soul has to be transformed, this whole thing has to be transformed. And there is a verse in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 17, it says that there is a warfare between the flesh and the spirit. So that's a problem that we are having today, right? We have the spirit inside us and the flesh is outside. And there is a warfare that is going between the flesh and the spirit. Sometimes I ask myself, what is this warfare for? That warfare is for your soul. It is trying to attack your whole soul, because everything that we do is also kind of controlled by your soul. Because everything starts with our mind, it affects our emotion, and affects our will. I always use this example about this mind, emotion, and will. Let's say that I have in my mind a positive thought about my son David, right? I love my son David, right? I mean, so in my mind I'm thinking, I love my son, right? What do you think my emotion will be? Love, filled with love, right? So if my emotion is filled with love, what do you think my willingness will be? Go give him a hug, right? That's wonderful, right? Praise the Lord. I'll give you another example about this mind emotion. Let's say that I have something against my brother James. I don't like what he did, right? Like the brother also mentioned it when you were sharing before that, you know, it's not about what you show outwardly. When you're inside the room, when you're all by yourself, right? When you're in your bed or when you're walking by yourself, what is going inside your mind? What is going inside your mind about the thought against my brother James? Because my brother James did something bad to me. He didn't smile at me this morning. When I came to the meeting, he didn't look at me, right? I entertained that thought inside my mind. What do you think my emotion will be? Anger, bitterness, right? And if this is going inside my emotions, what do you think my willingness will be? If James sit here, I'll sit there. I'll not sit next to him, right? So this is a problem that we all have. And we have to really, when the Lord shines His light from the Spirit into us, we really need to see this condition. We had to ask these questions daily. What is going into my mind, right? Where is my mindset? Is my mind set on the things which are on this earth? Or is my mind set on the things above? You know, where is my mind? Because whatever that we put inside in our mind, whatever that we entertain in our mind, it eventually affect our emotion and our willingness. If my mind is after making a lot of money, my emotions will also, or I'll have sleepless nights, right? Thinking about, is my money growing or not? And my willingness will be to make even more money, right? But if you're, that's why we should set our mind on the things above, right? We should invest on the things which are heavenly, right? Where things are not corrupted, right? These things will not perish away with time, right? So we need to set our mind on those things which are everlasting, right? Amen. On the kingdom of God, that our whole being can be conformed to Him and to do the will of God. Because we have to really give our all to Him, because we cannot just give 50-50. You know, you bring 50% of the world inside, it will not help us. We'll not have enough strength. So, yeah. So, the soul part, I hope I covered. There's a lot of verses that I want to cover. Okay. But, yeah, let me cover this. So, you know, going back to this, like, in this holy place, right, you can really see that there is a lampstand, there is an incense altar, and the 12 loaves of bread. Actually, there's a lot of significance, like what we enjoyed before regarding the consecration, and after we consecrate, what we do, right? We go inside the tent. Like the brother said, right? We want to dwell in the tent, but I'm not going for camping. I'm not just going to lie down there and sleep, but there are priestly duties inside. The Lord has to open our eyes to see what are these priestly duties. And when I saw this, the Lord really exposed my condition, because I was not doing many of these priestly duties, to be very honest. Because this lampstand, it is actually a shining golden lampstand, right? In Matthew 5, 14 to 16, it says that the lampstand, the light should be put on a lampstand, and it has to shine. In the church today, are we shining? Oh, wow, the light is gone. I was actually going to talk about it. Because, you know, this lamp has to be shining. And if it's just one lamp that is shining, is it glorious? You know, if it's just a few of us or a few of the saints which are shining as a lamp, will it shine? No. We all have to be shining, right? All the seven lamps have to be shining brightly. Amen. And even the lampstand itself, it's made of gold, which shows the divine nature of Christ, right? And, you know, even in Exodus, when you look at it, right, you can see that, I'm not going through all the verses, but it says that it's a free will offering. The children of Israel can bring everything, but everything is of Christ. If you look at all the materials that is being used in this tabernacle, everything has the characteristics of Christ. So we cannot just bring anything and everything into the house of the Lord thinking that this will help. But we have to really gain Christ throughout the week. And it is Christ that we have to bring to build the house of the Lord. Many times we say, oh, I want to build the church. But it's not really I who build the church with my own materials. I need to bring Christ. These are the materials that God wants, right? So the lampstand, it has to be filled with the golden oil. That means it has to be filled with the Spirit, right? And there's that verse which says that, I think it's in Matthew 25, 3 and 4. Maybe you can just quickly read that. Matthew 25, verse 3, 4. If you get it, read it. Yeah, 25, 3 and 4. That's good. Okay, praise the Lord. Yeah, may we be those wise virgins who bring the oil for the lampstand, right? So that it will shine brightly. So that, you know, it's not only for those who are coming outside, like those who are unbelievers when they come to the church, that they see the light. But even inside the church, we need it. Because there will be times when we go through ups and downs and everything. But we always have to be encouraging one another. And the light has to shine brightly, right? So, yeah, it's one of the priestly duties, right? And even in this lampstand, you know, the wick actually burns. And it will get burned. Once it gets burned, we have to trim it. So the Lord also gave us golden scissors. The divine nature, those things need to be trimmed. Yeah, so that the light will shine brighter. Amen. So that's one of the priestly duties. And the other one regarding the incense altar, which was already covered. There's a lot of verses. You know, there was a time when I thought that praying is all about me just going inside the room and shutting it, shut the door, and I will pray unto the Lord. Why? Because the word says so. But there is also other words in Acts which clearly says that it's not just about you praying individually, but also corporately. So sometimes we can also use the word in an incorrect manner, right? So that's why we have to be careful. Even we can twist and turn the word according to way that we want. But that's why it's always good to have fellowship with the saints to understand the word very clearly, right? So maybe we already read this verse, but we'll read it once again. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Can read it, 431.
And praying, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness.
Amen. When we come for the prayer meeting, everything has to be shaken, right?
Amen.
Things on earth and in the heavens, everything need to be shaken up. Right? And the Lord has to move his hand even to shake up some of the unrighteousness and lawlessness that is filling in this world. Right? Everything needs to be shaken up. And if it's just a few saints who are praying actively, then things cannot be shaken up. Right? We need the whole congregation, all the saints, to come together and pray in the Spirit that we can shake up heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. All right, and also regarding the showbread, I mean, there's a lot of details in all these things, but we'll just quickly go through the showbread. And one thing I enjoyed, as I mentioned before, these loaves are actually kept there for 7 days, and it is actually used for, it is for the consumption of the priest. It's a holy bread. It is the word of God that gives us strength. And this bread also comes from the grain offering, right? So it is something that the priests have to bring forth. The humanity of Christ, the nature of Christ, you have to really bring this, and this is a bread that we form, and we all eat it. You know, I thought about it. Why 12 loaves of bread? Why not just one big bread? You know, one big loaf of bread, right? No, it's 12, right? that's because, you know, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, it's a good one. Ephesians chapter, let's read together. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Go ahead.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So wonderful to have all the flavors of Christ. If I am the only one who is bringing bread, it will just taste like Indian curry, right? But praise the Lord. I really like our our feast, when all the saints bring all the different food, right? So many different flavors. That's so good, right? It's not only the physical food, but when we think about the spiritual offerings, right? Every Lord's table, when the saints bring all this wonderful richness of Christ, how enjoyable it is, right? I usually take notes of all the verses that the saints bring in my notes so that I can eat it. It's also for the priest, right? All the portion of offerings, it's not only for God, but it's also for the priest. It's for the priest's enjoyment, right? Praise the Lord. So we have covered the spirit, we have covered the soul, and the body. Praise the Lord, my brother already covered it. So I don't have to cover it anymore. But anyway, I'll read that verse again. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. It says that, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Yeah, so like just like we started right from the beginning, right? This is not just transformation of one part, it's our whole being. It's our spirit, it's our soul, and it's also our body. And what's so wonderful is that, you know, when we see the Lord face to face, we'll also receive a glorious body. And then now we are fully transformed. Now we can stand close to the Father. And I had always been amazed by this verse in Revelation 21, 22-27. Which is talking about the new heavenly Jerusalem, right? In the new heavenly Jerusalem, there is no more temple and no more sun, moon, or light, because God himself will be in their midst. It's so wonderful. Like even when you look at this tabernacle, right? Three separation. Why is that three separations? It's because God is holy, right? And you cannot just come to him just like that, right? He's holy. That's why there is separation, right? But when we are transformed completely, do you think that there is a need for a temple? No, you don't really need. You don't need any separations. God and his lamp is in their midst. You don't need any lampstand anymore. He is the light. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for his resurrection life.
Amen.
Amen. God of sanctify you completely.
Amen.
May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Amen.
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 Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for much maturity, much growth, much desire that you would dwell among your people.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray that our consecration will be full and complete.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Lord, we want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our
life. Amen.
Beholding your beauty,
Father. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we want to always remain in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
We do not want to depart from this tabernacle.
Right.
We want to go onward and upward.
Amen.
We pray that we bring all the saints to the throne of grace.
Yes. Amen.
We pray that we'll also be qualified to ascend to the throne.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yeah, thank you for all the priestly services.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, so that we can serve in your tabernacle and in the sanctuary.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, yes, as your consecrated priest, we want to learn to serve in your house.
Amen.
Lord, continue to teach us each and every day.
Amen.
Lord, all the details.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, as we live, we pray that you would keep this desire within each one of us.
Amen.
We all would genuinely desire to dwell in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
All the days of our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord for all that he's done in this weekend and all his speaking. And continue to pray for one another that this word can really be lived out in reality, in our day-to-day life. This is the last meeting of our weekend. Yeah, too bad. But just a few things, though. Today is still a holiday. I'll bring it up to all of you. It may be a good idea if we can also have dinner together at the hall, and then we can just continue to have some fellowship there. Since there's really, what else are we going to do? Right? Might as well.
Stay inside.
Stay inside, right? The only thing is that we just need someone, maybe one or two, to help order some food, and then we should be good. All right. Let's do that. So, I was saying yesterday, the checkout time was 11 to check out of the rooms, and everybody returned the keys. So, thank you for that. But the checkout time for us out of here is maximum 2 p.m. I don't think we're going to plan to stay until 2 p.m. But I'm just saying, if you want to continue to use the facilities, you can until 2 p.m. So most of us, we will leave after lunch, okay? So we'll just need some help with packing things up. The other thing is that we will have a group picture right now. Okay, since everybody is here. Oh, okay. Okay, one song, and then we take a group picture. Huh? Oh, the kids? Yeah, okay. All right, so we can sing a song, get the kids down, take a group picture, and go to lunch. All right.
384.